And I know this is a long reading, but I do ask that you stand as we share the living Word of God today from John chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. Hear the Word of the Lord before us today. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. She said to him, Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. The Samaritan woman asked, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with each other. Jesus responded, "If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave this well to us and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up unto eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty and will never need to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, get your husband and come back here." The woman replied, "I don't have a husband." "You are right to say, 'I don't have a husband,'" Jesus answered. "You've had five husbands, and the man you are now is not man you are with now is not your husband. You've spoken the truth." The woman said, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you and your people say that it is necessary to worship in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you and your people will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You and your people worship what you don't know. We worship what we know, because salvation is from the Jews. But the time is coming and is here when true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. The Father looks for those who worship Him this way. God is spirit, and it is necessary to worship God in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When He comes, He will teach everything to us." Jesus said to her, "I am the one who speaks with you." Just then, Jesus' disciples arrived and were shocked that he was talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman put down her water jar and went into the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who has told me everything I've done. Could this man be the Christ?" They left the city and were on their way to see Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples spoke to Jesus, saying, "Rabbi, eat." Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." The disciples asked each other, "Has someone brought him food?" Jesus said to them, "I am fed by doing the will of the one who sent me and by completing his work. Don't you have a saying, 4 more months and then it's time for harvest? Look, I tell you, open your eyes and notice that the fields are already ripe for the harvest. Those who harvest are receiving their pay and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that those who sow and those who harvest can celebrate together. This is a true saying, that one sows and another harvests. I have sent you to harvest what you didn't work for. Others worked hard, and you will share in their hard work. Many Samaritans in the city believed Jesus because of the woman's word when she testified, "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said. For we have heard for ourselves and know that the one is truly the Savior of the world." the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be.
Thank you.
and we realize that we are looking for the thirst quencher. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for your word, your living word for us today, not just spoken long ago and as for us a history lesson, but something fresh and new, something for us to receive today to be quenched of our thirst. Lord, help us so to believe. Help us so to receive. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Give them a minute to come down out of the choir loft. Thank you, choir, for leading us in that special song to help us to understand what we share in today. I'll give you all just a couple more minutes. I know some of you are going, is that the message today? That's the message of our culture. It's the message that says, you know what? A Coke can make all the difference. Now, what the choir led in singing is from 1971, the year I was born. And so, is it a perfect world? Have we made it a better world because Coke gave us a little caffeine and a little sugar and made everything better? Well, I think my wife would probably say yes. She enjoys Coca-Cola, and I do as well. But I wanted us to look and see that there are things as we go through this series of looking for love in all the wrong places, that there are drinks that we think are going to bring us the happiness that we need. It may not be a Coca-Cola. Maybe it's a cup of coffee or several throughout the day. Maybe it's a certain beverage that you partake in throughout the day or in the evening. And some that have come to be addicted to various drinks. We know many and some close friends that I have who have said, Owen, I never knew that it would take hold of my life in such a way that it no longer was something beautiful, but it was something that was very tragic and horrific for their lives. So if you can imagine, as we begin to focus on the thirst quencher, there are many things that you and I may have that could take the form of something that we would take in, literally take into our bodies, that we think is going to make us better, but only makes us better for a day or for a moment. As you heard Carrie share from Exodus chapter 17, we were not the first to thirst. We weren't the first to look for ways to quench our thirst. Here are the Israelites going through the desert and they're being led by Moses. And now they are thirsty and now they are complaining. Moses, help us out. And so Moses goes to God. And God has Moses strike a rock. And that water brings forth living water for them to drink. Literally to keep them alive. They drank from this rock. And certainly we can understand as we hear from John chapter 4, this well that gives water for them to drink is one that keeps them alive as well. And if you know anything about this well that was given to Jacob and those that came after him, has been one that continues to produce water enough for them to drink for their community, for their town. And here Jesus encounters the woman, a Samaritan woman. And we know that, as the Scripture shares, they would not get along with the Jews, nor the Jews get along with the Samaritans. And here Jesus asks her for water, and she is taken back by this. "Why would you ask me for water? I'm a Samaritan, and a woman at that. You are a Jew and a man. You should not ask me for water." And Jesus responds, "If you knew who I was, you'd be asking for me for water, living water." And she begins to listen to Jesus. And as He encounters her and pours forth into her, she receives this living water. She receives salvation in her life. Notice that John wants us to see that what Jesus has been doing among the Jews, He now extends to the Samaritans. These Samaritans would have worshipped God as well. They would have understood, and they just had a different understanding of where they worshipped. That they could worship on the mountain. They didn't go to Jerusalem, where the Jews said you had to go to the temple in order to worship. Jesus extends this to them, in a sense, extends it to us as well. We'll learn about that in Acts and understanding that as well for how we as Gentiles receive the salvation as well. But for a moment, let's focus on the Samaritan woman. Think about it. She's received water. Water that she had hoped for, that she went in the middle of the day. If you know anything about the customs of drinking water at the time and drawing from the well, you would have done it in the morning and at night. You wouldn't have done it in the middle of the day unless you were someone like her that Jesus saw in her. She had had five husbands and was with someone else as well. And even in that, she's still searching for something. So she's getting her nourishment, her water for the day, in the middle of the hottest part of the day. In a way to probably avoid the other women who seem to have everything together. That everything's fine for them. And if you notice, this well that was Jacob's well, where he met Rebekah and was betrothed to her, this was not the first time that people met at a well and became in a relationship with each other. One in marriage, and now one Jesus having with the Samaritan woman to say, "I bring salvation, living water for you. Receive it." And she receives it, and she goes and she shares. She can't even contain it in herself. She shares it because it's bubbling over in her. That's what living water does to us. It's water that continues not only to be something that we take in and we enjoy and our thirst is quenched, but it bubbles over into others as well. Think about it for a minute. You and I search for things. We may find wells that work for a day, but have we found the well that works for eternity, that we find in Jesus Christ? And are we paying attention to Jesus encountering us on a daily basis, meeting us in our Samaritan locations, and meeting us wherever we are? I think it's important for us to realize that this is not just a history lesson for us to know about what Jesus did with a Samaritan woman long ago, but for us as well. That Jesus encounters us on a daily basis, and He wants to pour that living water into you and to me as well. I imagine if Jesus were here today, He'd show up there at the Coca-Cola company and He said, "Hey, I'm the real thing." He'd show up at the Central Georgia EMC and say, "I'm the one with everlasting power." He'd show up on social media and say, "Hey, you only have to like me one time and I will love you forever." Jesus would show up at the makeup counters and He would say, "Ladies, You are already beautiful. There's nothing else you need to do. And men, wherever you search, in all the wrong places for beauty, he would say, no, let me show you beauty. He'd show up at Amazon and say, I always deliver on the right time. He'd show up to Washington, D.C. and say, I have a right wing and a left wing because of the Holy Spirit. What would an example be for you to know that Jesus has the audacity to go to a well and tell a woman, I've got better water than what you're drawing out of. In our lives, there's many places that we need to come alongside with Jesus and have the audacity to say, we have the living water in Jesus Christ. I personally stand before you as one who believes that I have the living water of Jesus Christ. And it's just not a trickle. It's like drinking from a fire hose. It's just the problem that I have is sometimes I miss what God is doing. I miss that God is active in my life on a daily and an hourly and minute basis. The problem isn't whether Jesus is the living water for me. The problem is am I paying attention to how Jesus is the living water for me and how He's the living water for us as the body of Christ? Are we searching for the right things? Over this series, you'll see some little Scrabble tablets showing up. You'll see some on the altar. If you had come to pray, you would have been able to take a few of those back to your seat and put a word together. And if we're searching for the right word, we'll come up with it. And I believe that's the same for us searching for the living water of God. If we search for where God is showing up and pouring into our lives, we'll see it. Just as we might make a word in Scrabble. It's something that we need to do. We need to pay attention to that. Now, this last Wednesday, I put some of you through a little exercise. At Wednesday night dinner, I had things set up on the table, and I gave a few instructions right before the prayer, and then had instructions on the table. But the instructions were to come up with various words based on the Scrabble tablets that you had. What could you come up with that shares what we share as the cup of Jesus? Now, all we had was solo cups there available, so that's what everyone wrote on. And I asked them to write words that they came up with. And so there, it was fascinating. If I could give you the whole list, it would take a little while to go through this. But there were several words like love, peace, kindness, prayers, faith, hope. And then there was this one huge word, if I can find it. Where did it go? I think Bob Kaler helped me with this. Bob, are you in the room? Or is he in the back? Oh, okay. It was tintinnabulation. Carrie, you would appreciate that word. I had to look it up, but it's the ringing from bells, that sound, the tintinnabulation, the sound that it makes. It was the longest word I've ever seen. But as I looked at all these words, and we all had different words, and there were some that were in common, the ones that were in common were the fruits of the Spirit. I thought, wow, what an image. Something that I learned out of what you did as an activity for us to focus and plan on what we would share, to know that we have living water, that living water takes different forms for us. And that we may have a solo cup, we may have a coffee cup, we may have our hands to hold the water in. And each time that water can take a different form for us. Maybe we need peace. As I began my ministry here at Jackson, I felt like the Lord was telling me, you will receive peace, my peace. We as a congregation can share the peace of Christ with one another. Christ's peace. We can extend that out into the community. What God gives us and blesses us with. Maybe peace for a moment, that is the same peace that we share with others. Maybe it will be love. Maybe it will be kindness. Maybe it will be praying. At each moment, we have the opportunity. This living water takes the form of what God needs for us to receive, but also to share as well. Think about it for a minute. What we take in is something that we can also share with others. Whether we're a Samaritan or a Jew, whether we're a Republican or a Democrat, whether our color of skin looks one color or our color of cup looks another, we all can receive the living water of God for what we need individually, what we need as a congregation, but also to go out into the world and share that water. Just as a Samaritan woman could not contain herself, she could not contain the living water, it bubbled out over into those around her enough that they too came and heard Jesus. And they said, "We can't even listen to your testimony anymore, because we too can proclaim that we've received this living water. We've received salvation for our lives." Did you notice in the story of Exodus, as we hear about the Israelites that are complaining and they're thirsty, Moses strikes a rock. We know, and this is just something my mind does, maybe yours doesn't do this, so I'll just help you for a minute. Sometimes God wants us to connect the dots. Moses strikes a rock. Jesus names a person the rock. Peter, on whom he says, "I will build my church on the rock. And from that the waters will flow." Just as they did long ago for the Israelites, they do for us as well, as we understand the salvation of Jesus Christ, the overflowing of this living water that Jesus has for us is ours to receive, but also to share. Living water should flow from us as the rock, the church, the one that Jesus betrothed at the well. You and I are in a relationship with Jesus Christ as the body of Christ. Jesus wanted that for us. He overflow into our lives in such a way that we would bear fruit into others' lives with the fruits of the Spirit in ways that we know that all we have to do is look for how Jesus is flowing into our lives this day. So I'm going to ask you to do something. We may not all have the same cup. We may not all be the same vessel that God uses. God may use one of us in a different way than another. Did you know there are certain places I can't go in this community, but you can? There are certain places I'm just not familiar with yet, but you're familiar with. You're going to be a better vessel for the living water than I can be. But we're all called to be that. And so, for a moment, I'd like for you to take your hands. I'd like you to take your hands out and hold them out as the cup that we have. Lord, let me be a vessel for you. Pour living water into me. Pour your salvation, your eternal living water into me, Lord. Into all of us by the power of the living word that was shared today. We have the authority. We have the blessing to receive that living water for ourselves. We have also to know that our fingers cannot contain that living water. It's going to flow in between. Now throw it on your friend. Throw it on another. And then take it with you. Take it with you out into this community. Flicker that last bit of living water you received onto someone else who is thirsty. There are tons of us that are thirsty in this room. Now just imagine how thirsty those are in our community. We have the opportunity to be the rock. To not only believe that Jesus Christ is the one who quenches our thirst, but to believe that we could share it with others and have the audacity to say, "I can share the living water with you as well. I'm just a vessel. I'm not the living water. but the living water I share with you. Receive it. Share it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, help us to know. Lord, help us to know that we not only believe that you encountered this woman in Samaria, Lord, the Samaritan woman, and shared living water with her, but you share it with us as well. And you ask us to do the same thing that she just naturally did as well. That after she received that living water from you, Lord, it was just bubbling out of her that she couldn't stop herself from going and sharing with others, bringing others to you. And they're having the same encounter, enough that they could proclaim it for themselves as well. Lord, you are the one who quenches our thirst. Be the living water in us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we invite you to stand. Sing our hymn of invitation, page 127 in your hymnal. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.